Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, for the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club meeting. Tonight, we're in part two of Justifiable Homicide, and we're ready to discuss the methods that we need to abandon in order to move forward in our quest for, let's say, liberty, freedom from oppression, and so we can live a full, pleasant, and long life. Previously, on our meeting, Dr. Wellesley discussed how the methods of voting, picketing, petitioning, and those sorts of strategies were not... We're not going to be successful in remedying this attack on the black relief from this kind of oppression. And that was on page 184. And on page 185, she begins to give us a source of new insight for how we should be looking at dealing with oppression and changing the power relationships between one another and our oppressors. And I'll begin by reading paragraph 2, page 185. He says, "Without critical thinking, there is no self-respect. Without self-respect, there is no courage, and no self-defense, no justice, no peace, and no progress." Now, African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club co-chairman, Delavette Williams, who's functioning as co-producer, engineer extraordinaire.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? What did you have to say about that last remark?
Well, it's interesting that you would... Hey, I mean, you're on, you're live. How you doing? Sorry,
I'm
probably
should
have announced that. Hey. We see you're here. Hi.
What's up?
You know, I just posted, only moments ago, the video, and I'm sure that you've seen it, Charles. I know you've probably seen it too. Brother, I mean, about the soccer match where the police were brutalizing the guy and the whole crowd just kind of starts to pour out of the stands and beating the hell out of these cops. and they're running. You know, by the end of the day, they're, you know, before it's over, they're running away. And what the way that I captioned that video is I said, those are black self-serious people with dignity left. And it pains me that I look upon my folks and I know that we are not serious. We do not have that dignity. And we would watch our own be brutalized in that way. As a matter of fact, I've seen videos where we've watched our own brutalized worse than that.
Right.
And we stand around with cameras and we take the badge numbers. I see your badge. Gosh darn it. You know.
It's laughable.
It's laughable. And it saddens me because that's the proof. That's the proof that all of humanity has not lost its dignity.
Just black people.
For I know that we have. And that is a painful thing to acknowledge.
That's right. And our people don't like to look at it. Matter of fact, I posted that video I think I put it on BIP. I know I put it up on Beyond the Book Club. And nobody looked at that. Commented on it, that is. I mean, you know. Nobody wants to say because they like to make the excuse, oh, well, if I do that, I'm going to get killed. So what? Them people didn't care about getting killed.
Right.
They cared more about their self-respect than they did living.
That's right.
And black people, they're still killing you, but they're not willing to put their lives on the line. They're ready to gamble, well, they might not kill me, so they'll endure any amount of disrespect.
Right.
Or they get to keep their little sniveling, groveling lives.
We are
cowards.
Are okay with living on our knees.
Right. That's
we're okay with that.
That's proof that black people will not, as a group, I'm not talking about some other group that may resist oppression, but for the most, I would say 99% or 98% are willing to die or proceed with extermination. They could perform a Nazi Germany style extermination on black folks in America with no problem.
Oh yeah, we'd stand in line and wait our turn.
Right. So any black person, well, they ain't gonna happen. I don't know. Do you remember back in the '80s, people would say, "I bet they won't try that slavery stuff now." You remember that kind of talk?
Oh yeah.
They should talk real big, bad, and tough. And here, those same people are now middle-aged adults, and there, and you see them. They living in concentration, many of them in prison, doing exactly what they said they were too tough to be doing.
On a plantation.
On a plantation. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they need a slap in the face, you know, and some cold. I'm sure they're getting plenty of that, in, you know, wherever they are. But the point is, they need some reality, or they need to get out of the way. That's really what they need to do.
So when she's talking about justifiable homicide, she's covering, I think, in particular, the part that you just read. She's talking about, in plain language, that if we don't get serious, if we do not regain some semblance of our dignity, there will never be, you know, the peace or all of those things that we could be fighting for.
Living for.
It's just not real.
Right, why you
reality if right. You are not willing to, you know, to die for it. No, it's not real.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because why live?
Right.
Breathe every day if you're going to allow anything to happen to you or your children, or you're not going to secure any type of positive future for your children. Why are you waking up? Why are you going to work every day? Why are you eating food? You know, it's no point in it.
We respect the words liberty, give me liberty, or give me death if somebody else says it.
Yeah.
Yes.
we call those great words when somebody else says it about themselves.
Themselves. You
know? Mm-hmm. Right. You know. Right. I think our people do not equate life with respect. I think they just equate life with the fear of dying. And we covered, that was our first meeting was on black fear.
Yes, it was.
Black fear. I felt that that was the foundation we wanted to lay. Dr. Wilson, I can read Dr. Wilson, Amos Wilson, when he talked about black people are cowards.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody knows it, but they don't want to hear us talk. They want to misdirect and project on certain personalities that they don't like or whatever. But let's just talk about the collective here. We're not talking about your group that you in and your posse, people that you feel are tough. We're talking about the social concept, black society's ideas, and we're speaking in complete generalities.
Correct.
And anybody who gets offended about these generalities, we must be hitting them because, and they must be hurting by it because they don't like it when they look at themselves in the mirror.
Like a vampire.
Well, here we go. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, I'm back.
Okay, here we go. Paragraph 3. In his struggle against white supremacy, the great leader of the Chinese-speaking non-white people, Chairman Mao Zedong, accurately stated, as recorded in the collected works of Mao Zedong, it is well known that when you do anything, unless you understand its actual circumstances, its nature, and its relations to other things, you will not know the laws governing it or know how to do it or be able to do it well. With this in mind, all black people everywhere must begin to understand the exact and specific nature of the war that is being waged against the black collective. All black people must begin to understand why we are witnessing black males being shot dead daily by white males in uniform, and why it will soon escalate to more than one per day. Without the specific understanding of why we are seeing this behavior, we are unable to organize behaviors to meet this war strategy effectively. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
It seems like it's several a day at this point. If you look at throughout the world, it's quite a few being killed at the moment.
You're right. It's a group, a website called Global Hood News. Do you remember that, Jonathan?
Yes, I do.
Remember that guy? He was a security guard at the Walmart. He was at some party. Police pulled up and people just got scared, took off running. The police just shot him in the back.
Right.
And one of the witnesses was like, why the hell did he run? If they was going to shoot him anyway, he may as well had just, gone down fighting.
Correct.
And, that's the guy raises some small argument. Yeah, why not? They're going to kill you. But, they rather take that chance that they just might get away. I don't know how he expected that to happen because one of your friends was going to turn you in. But the point is, they are not willing to face. We're talking about the idea is not whether they should fight the police, because of course they shouldn't do that. I mean, everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that that's not the right thing to do.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. The point is that they are not willing to face head on their fears. Because if he was afraid, then why did he run? Because he was too afraid to stay there, so he took off. He didn't even have a chance to get away. He was running in a straight line down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And he thought these people would just, I don't know, I've seen cops enough times. I mean, not to say that it never happens, but these people never get away. And, but our people do not take facing their fears. And it was more people there than them, so they couldn't even create a diversion to help that person get away. And a diversion can do a lot. It could distract attention, and no one has to even get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Unviolent strategies.
Mm-hmm. Or what, did you trip somebody up?
Yeah, you could do that.
They could have did a number of things.
A number of things that were not violent. But too bad the police is a violent organization, and they specialize in terrorism. And that being done and saying, that's why we are reading this chapter right now. Because if that were not true, this chapter would not have been written. That's right. Let's go move on to the next paragraph. She says, furthermore, black people everywhere must begin to understand why the black collective, and black males in particular, have been under intensive attack for the past 2,000 years. Indeed, Jesus was a black male who was lynched by uniformed white male Roman soldiers 2,000 years ago as a result of the same war that has continued into the present day extension of the same Roman white empire. Now, Dr. Wilson is so spot on right here. I mean, because people don't realize that this country, this whole global system is still under a Roman director. This is the Roman Empire. It just has many faces to it. And people, we talked previously on some certain occasions that our people get very confused about different hats and uniforms. That's because they don't walk around saying whatever Roman, speaking Latin, but they don't realize that there are Latin embassies all over the world, and they're called Roman Catholic churches.
That's right.
The Roman Catholic Church is an embassy of the Vatican. Why the priests don't go to prison? Because they are ambassadors.
Ambassadors, that's right.
They don't get it. Just don't get it. The president goes to Rome, he kisses the Pope's hands and feet.
But Columbus, there was one thing I was confused about. Jesus wasn't white?
See.
Apparently, everybody's the earliest, matter of fact, I posted a video in one of my groups about the earliest picture of Yeshua, renamed Jesus by the Europeans, is a black picture. Matter of fact, all the earliest icons and murals have Yeshua and Miriam, his mother, as black people.
Imagine.
And that there are records by historians during that period, according to the Roman calendar, they call it the first century Christian era, but of course we know there were other systems in which we are not acquainted. I mean, I am, but they say that Yeshua, they called him. He was murdered or persecuted by the Pharisees who were working as agents, not at all unlike the Boule, Moors or certain other group who worked with white imperialist powers to assist in their quest or knowledge in conquering lands to conquer. So, yeah, these were all black people, and this was all terrorism. And so we have to face that. I think that's one thing our community is still trying to ignore, that We've been suffering for 2,000 years. Not all, every black person all over the world at the same time hasn't been suffering for 2,000 years, but that some black people somewhere on the planet have been suffering white supremacy for 2,000 years. And that's what we have to learn, to identify with everybody's pain in this ordeal and stop trying, and we to be the fragment, this particular group wasn't suffering, and so I'm a part of that group. And so they, by identifying with a group that wasn't suffering from, they think they're escaping white supremacy. And the point is not to escape, but get rid of it, wipe it out. Yeah. But they're still cowards. That's why they do that. Here's another good one. I think y'all will find this one interesting. That wherever there is a sense of increased vulnerability within the local and or global white collective, as for example, caused by inflation, that is currency devaluation, unemployment, loss of war, or counter struggle by non-whites, that is, for example, the Arabs controlling and limiting oil supplies, the Iranians taking hostages, black guerrillas struggling in southern Africa, and the loss of the Vietnam War, there will be an increase of the ever-present normal daily slaughter and murder of blacks and other non-white males by those both legally and illegally authorized to do so. But what that means, like when the guys who ran, the white men and women who ran over the black guy in, was that in Mississippi, Texas, what that? Mm-hmm. They ran over him in a pickup truck?
Yes, that was, I can't remember.
Yes.
They beat him and then ran over him with his with their truck.
Yes, those are the ones who are illegally authorized to murder Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the privilege of doing so, but you know it, the white society overall understands. That's why we cover this chapter, justifiable homosexuals. They understand their need to predate upon Negro peoples.
Nana is live. She wanted to speak. You're on the air, Nana.
Yes, welcome.
Welcome.
How you all doing? Can you all hear me?
All right.
Wonderful.
Hi. I just wanted to know. So what is it that needs to be done? I mean, I'm hearing pretty much everything that's already being done to us, which continues to be done. So what is it that we can do from this point?
Okay, what we can do is, like she stated, is we have to develop the critical thinking. We have, in a previous chapter, she talked about the thought processes for survival.
Mm-hmm.
We have to learn. Like we gave an example about the people on the Ghetto Hood News when the police came drawing the guns, they were supposed to instinctively go into a survival tactic mode in order to create a divergence and to confuse the people who are trying to attack them. Right now, we don't have the self-respect to cultivate survival tactics to create situations that will allow us greater ability to survive and to escape danger. We have to develop not only knowledge, we have to develop knowledge itself, but at this current time, most black people who are developing learning knowledge about black history or black things, they're using it as a means to alienate other black people that may or may not have that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still lack of self-respect. People are learning knowledge as a means to oppression, but they're not developing the respect and love of blackness in order to mm-hmm. learn how to be loving to one another and respect one another. And so therefore we can't build our community, we can't treat our men and our women properly, we can't develop mm-hmm. power relationships with each other. So we must develop the self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
And with that self-respect will come the thought processes for survival. We have to, that will be a part of our re-education. And that could mm-hmm. take about 100 years.
Okay, I have, all right. So I wanted to know, what is the, well, do you recommend maybe like learning military science, things of that nature, to go along with the self-respect?
Yeah.
And those type of things. That we, okay, all right, okay.
Yeah.
And you
know,
still think that
it
would take 100 years?
Yeah, we use some of those skills as it is already. We you know, it's funny, when black-on-black crime exists, the police will show up in the neighborhood and everybody jumps into survival mode to protect the black-on-black criminal.
Right.
Nobody knows. Everybody moves the evidence. Everybody goes off to the side. Yeah, but they don't go in the same protective mode when they're being attacked from outsiders.
Right. Or when they're being protected by an insider.
Mm-hmm.
If one person is protecting the community, then they'll still tell them. They won't. Right. So they don't, like you said, they have technology. Right. Well, like we said, we're going back. That's why I went back to the self-respect. And then, like, she's like, no, I was just recommending studying military science. Of course, by all means, study military science while that self-respect is developed. I've read The Art of War by Sun Tzu twice. But I don't want to, I haven't committed it to memory. That would be good. I've read a few military history books, and I read them ongoing regularly. And that's what you should do. It helps us to learn how to solve problems, learn to be, it helps us understand that we can overcome a lot of, incredible obstacles. And that must be done. We must face ourselves, and we must learn how to remove obstacles in our lives. And black people have not learned to love themselves and not learned how to overcome obstacles. And we've become, we cannibalize psychically upon ourselves. So, yeah, you're right. We do need to do all of that, and we need to, incorporate the education.
I was just I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nan.
I have one more question that I wanted to ask. I'm going to follow up the question with a statement. I wanted to know, what do you all think about those who are just not made for the street? Meaning, they don't have that type of warrior mentality to physically fight. How is it that you can, not necessarily make them warriors, but use them in other avenues? Because I just find that a lot of people, they're just not made for the street. That's the only way I can put it. So what do you all think can sort of like remedy that? If that makes sense.
Well, I would recommend that at least bring up that wars are not fought solely by soldiers on a battlefield.
What?
You have life support staff. It cannot be even waged without doctors and intelligence agents and we're just cooking food.
That's right.
Farmers. Mm-hmm. Everything is a weapon.
Right.
That's what we should learn. Right. That everything is an ingredient in a military enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's contribution is insignificant.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I don't think we can say. I'm not saying it just what you're saying. I know you're saying how can we use everybody, and we can, and everybody should be used that want to be.
Right.
Themselves to their own survival, because that's what it really is.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody should be able to apply their talents or even acquire new talents if necessary or when necessary in order to contribute that to the salvation of their people. Anybody else have any answers?
You know what I'm going to say. Without even lifting a finger, you can stop flossing.
Yeah.
we pay the enemy daily for trinkets. You know, if we stop doing that, that's a weapon within itself.
Right. We don't. I would even recommend. You go ahead and give the announcement.
We're at the last minute of this particular show, so we're going to go into an extra 15 minutes. But if you're not on the phone line, you won't be able to listen to the show. So the number to call in is 323-580-5707. And thank you to everyone in who's listening, those in the chat room, Brother Ben Yohanan. We were having a very interesting conversation, and I wanted to share some of those points on the air as well. If you have an opportunity, please call in. Again, the number is 323-580-5707. All right, go ahead.
Most of our people the world over don't realize that when combat is over, they think the war has ended. They don't realize that they can fight in every way that they, in their everyday lives and every decision about what they buy, what they don't buy, what they purchase. what they purchase, how the quality of their labor that they decide to perform for the enemy, what they allow their children to learn, whether they decide to even send them to the what most importantly, not allowing them to go to the school and be taught by the enemy, or people who have the ideologies of the enemy. See, all of these are ways that black people could have or could be opposing without lifting a finger or throwing a rock. We could be winning a whole lot without combat. But we're so much we don't understand as a culture, because we never developed a martial culture.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We have to read. We have surrendered it. Let me just say we surrendered it. Well, let's talk about the people down in South America. They have that close quarters martial arts style. I don't know. It starts with a C. I forgot it's a era or something. And they never surrendered that martial art. They kept it and they preserved it. They kept it secret from the Europeans.
That's right.
But we surrendered everything we had. The reason why we don't have anything, because we gave it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And so until we develop cultivate another group of people who don't want to give that away, that know that their job is to protect and hide their cultural secret and
mm-hmm.
keep them to themselves. And black people have a serious problem, because we'll sell anything. We sell all our culture technology. We sell all of our musical art form. We'll let anybody. Support and endorse anyone using our culture technology for their own benefit.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One example, just a recent example, is the NAACP gave a bigger performer entertainment award to Kid Rock, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the 6-string guitar, which is an African instrument. Black people don't even make any money from it.
Mm-hmm.
And the banjo. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all of our technology we bring from Africa. We all of our agriculture technology we gave it to European. Our metallurgy technology we gave everything technology the European has used to develop and cultivate a civilization came from Africa. They don't have anything. Classical music come from Africa. Every music off on and we just give it up. Hey, Master, look what else I can do. I was watching a show, gentlemen. We were watching some show, and they were talking about it was a rice farming with these newly brought over Africans, and they were having some problems with the crop cultivation. And one of our ancestors just solved the problem. Oh, we should just do this right here and just provide innovations on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just jump through the television in time and tell him, why did you just tell him that?
Mm-hmm.
What is wrong? You know, but we continue to do it. You know, we always helping out. We talk about the cotton gin, the Eli Whitney, some guy.
Right.
Hey, I think I got a new way to solve this problem. Thank you. Thank you for solving all the problems.
Well, what I wanted to add to what you were saying, Charles,
mm-hmm.
you made the comment earlier. You were talking about the idea of understanding what the way that we contribute in a militaristic understanding, a mindset. And until we can understand that, then we don't understand the militaristic attacks against us.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we don't even realize that the fact that we don't know how to grow our own food, that we, you know, because if they close down the stores, then we starve.
That's right.
That means that we are conquered. We are a conquered people. And militaristically, we have been conquered, and we cannot begin to regain any control until we understand the weapons against us.
That's right. Ain't that why I didn't get my master's degree? Because I decided I didn't want to contribute.
Right.
I was, you know, I had written my thesis, and I had done the research, and I decided I didn't want to put my brick in the wall.
Right.
I mean, I would have put that brick in there if I hadn't had a sharp disagreement with my research advisor, but that schism I was going through with her about the depth of my research, it made me think very deeply about what I was doing, and my contribution
mm-hmm.
was getting in depth, and I decided I didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I decided I didn't want that. It was a military project.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, why am I going to help them with this solve this war machine problem?
Right.
Improve their ability to to do whatever the hell it is that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I could have made it, and I have made arguments to myself on both angles with all the other good things I could do if I had gotten it and gone on and gotten a PhD, but that would be true too. But that was the initial struggle. That was the decision that I made at the time, was that mm-hmm. I didn't want to contribute that to them. Now, I probably could have done better in some other ways had I done it. You know, that's debatable. But the point is, everybody who's doing this must deal with that conflict. They must face that and must figure out, even if they do it for their paper, for their ghost skin, they need to try to redeem themselves from that. They need to try to make whatever their contribution was worthless by comparison
mm-hmm.
to what they did after they got their paper.
What's the slogan, I mean? Take from them everything and give them nothing.
Give them nothing and take from them everything.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and I had the same conflict. I had to get out of the military at some point. Do I contribute or do I get out? What could I have gained and what would I have lost? You know, how many wars would
I
have been?
The same thing too. I did the same thing as well. You know, the exact same thing in a PhD program. I completed two chapters. I had already completed a year. And I just had to stop. When you realize, you know, it was just an epiphany. And I'm like, absolutely not. And I just stopped. And I know how much work I had already done. I was so far ahead of everyone. But when you're working with someone who doesn't understand, you just don't have common sense. I don't know any other way to put it. You have to stop because you know that your contribution, whatever contribution that you would make, it's not going to benefit you, but it's going to benefit someone else. So
the machine.
You stop. And I don't regret it at all, to that effect. I mean, once you realize that, I just stop. Exact same thing. Just stop.
Walked away 10 years ago. Over 10 years ago. No, actually, it's been 98. That's been 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a chance to look at it both ways. I could argue I could be a professor. I could argue that I could have mentored many young intellectuals
mm-hmm.
and made that contribution impotent. That might be true. But I didn't know that at the time. You understand what I'm saying? I was
mm-hmm.
only 20. I didn't have that kind of stuff. So at the level I was wrestling, because I didn't want to be a university professor. That's not what I wanted to do
mm-hmm.
at the time. All I was thinking about was right there in front of me, and I'm looking at the work I'm doing. I'm not saying that you should do. I'm not saying pro or con. Nobody. I'm saying everybody should be struggling with that, wrestling with that. And the fact that you wrestled with that and you won no matter what decision you made, because whatever you did, I do trust that if you had gotten it, I felt you would have done the best you could to make whatever that contribution seem like trash. You thought that was something. Look at what I'm doing on this flip side. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So either way, just long as you stay true to yourself. And if that's what's true to yourself right then, you made the right decision, no matter what.
Because
mm-hmm. if I took it and did it and then didn't have what I have now in mind, then I consider that I would have sold out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would have sold out, because I would never, if I could not develop the way I did now after having received it, then I would have considered it a sellout. But to me, that was my path. This is how I got to it. I don't know if I'd have got to it the other way. That's the main source of speculation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but hopefully everybody out here listening realize that they need to be struggling inside. They should be wrestling to fight to win and figure out if they serving their people,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or if they gonna serve their people, or they just gonna get their paper, get a good high-paying job and just ride the rest of this thing out and get the best crumbs off the table.
Because that's what has happened. You were speaking about the people in the 80s, I used to hear that conversation about those people talking about, you know, slavery this and that, and
yeah,
I would never do that. They couldn't do that now, ha, 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 ha. Well, those are the people who have the quote-unquote good jobs, and that's
right,
how you shut up. It's always worked that way. You give us some money, and we sit down, and we shut up.
Yeah. And now they took it away. Think about it. They took all those good jobs away.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm,
everybody's, ain't no good jobs. And they started talking about get a job, and ain't no job to get. I mean, it's
right.
So basically, they mocking each other. Black community is mocking itself,
mm-hmm,
for massive unemployment. It's insane. I'm telling you,
this is insane.
I almost can't take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I do these programs just to meet people like y'all.
Right.
That's the only reason why I do it.
So sad and true.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right, so you have about 4 minutes left, Charles. You wrap it up.
All right. So we'll pick up here on page 185. So we will discuss the rest of this stuff. About how we got to get a grapple on history, and that non-white people are being chronically threatened with death, and we got to develop some self-respect so we can start living.
Yes.
Because we're not ready to live until we're ready to die.
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah.
That, that's
the closing remark right now. There you go.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. This was outstanding. We'll do it again next week on Wednesday night, 10 o'clock. See you then.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.